I don't know what's more difficult, reading that really long gospel or following him 666. You know, I suspect that the folks walking around the Town and Country Mall in Bethany were a little unnerved when they saw Lazarus sitting outside of Starbucks having a cup of coffee. We don't do too well with seeing those who we loved and who are gone resurrected and hanging around. It's a little unweird. Unless, of course, you live in Aurora, Missouri. I think it's Missouri. Where in the last 3 weeks, I don't know if you've been following this or not, but in the last 3 weeks, three people have returned from the dead and are roaming around the town. A little boy, Jacob, who I think is about six, no, he's older than six, about 9 years old, been dead for 32 years. Life has moved on, his family has moved on, his parents have aged, and then all of a sudden he's back home exactly the way they buried him, alive and well. And since then, two other people. What I'm referring to is a new series on ABC called Resurrection. And I've kind of gotten a little bit absorbed in it, trying to figure out what's going to happen next. We know so far that three people have come back, not quite sure why. They're all a little unsure of themselves. And all we know is that more people are coming back. So I don't know where this is going to go, but it's kind of fun to watch. It's kind of interesting, you know? But made me start thinking about Lazarus and thinking about death and the struggle that we have with death and really trying to understand it. Well, I think that we can't really get our arms around this notion of death and coming back and what resurrection is without thinking of the flip side of the coin, which is life. And life we do a much better job with, you know, l'chaim, to life. We wish everybody an abundant life, have a wonderful life, filled with riches and joy and good health. At Christmas time, we all sit down and we watch what? It's a wonderful life. And it is, it's all good. Unless, of course, you're living in Aurora and watching all these dead people coming back to life. Or if you're in Bethany. But abundance and life seem to go very naturally. And there isn't one of us here that doesn't want for abundance in our life. Sometimes, maybe more abundance than what we need. Maybe Janis Joplin, I'm dating myself, you guys aren't going to get this reference, but you know, maybe Janis Joplin had it right when she said, "Lord, please send me a Mercedes-Benz." You know, we want, you know? Win the lottery, do this, have a bigger house, have this, have this, have this, have this, have this. And when we don't get what we want, oftentimes we get a little annoyed with God. It's like, well, hello. You know, when we pray and the prayer doesn't get answered when we want or how we want, we get a little bit pissy about it. Now, enter Mary in the gospel story, and I think this is where it really starts to get interesting. She says to Jesus, "You know, I'm really kind of annoyed with you right now. If you were here, my brother would be alive. So, you know, what are you, sleeping on the job? What's going on?" And there's certainly been times in my life when I felt that way, when things weren't really going well or as I expected them to go. You know, sometimes we expect God not only to fix the now, but you know, while you're fixing now and making my life better and more abundant, why don't you work on the future and the past at the same time? It doesn't always work that way. The story that I'm always drawn to is, you know, bless her soul, my Irish Catholic mother had a great devotion at one point in her life to St. Rita. And when I was a little kid, I went out and I bought her a statue of St. Rita. And it's out proudly on her dresser, and all was well. Then I noticed some months later that St. Rita was gone. And I said, "Mother, where's St. Rita?" She looked at me without missing a beat, as only my mother could. She said, you know, Edward, she just didn't work out. We never saw St. Rita again. We did not mention St. Rita. We just let it go. We just let it go. But that's what happens, you know? When things don't go our way, we get like Mary. We get like Mary, you know? And we get a little annoyed. So, what is the deal with resurrection and death and life? Well, for me, here's how I see it. When Lazarus comes out of the tomb, it's not so much that he's back and he's alive. I think the key to unlocking this and the key to really understanding what it means to live abundantly, and oh, by the way, we're entitled to live abundantly. You all know that, right? Particularly as Christians, we're entitled. It says so in John, right? Roger? Chapter 10, verse 10. And I will give you life and abundantly while I'm at it. So we're entitled. Now, I went off track and now I've had to come back to where I was. Entitlement. It'll come. It'll come. I'm reminding myself of my Aunt Betty, who when she was like 99, you'd ask her a question and she'd go, well, when do you need to know by? That happens a lot in our house, huh? Anyway, the point that I want to make here is about in order to be set free. You know, the story is about freedom. The story is about resurrection. And at the end of the gospel, the most telling line, I think, for all of us as Christians, and the most important thing takeaway 2 weeks before Easter is unbind and set free. And this notion of unbinding and letting go. So on two levels, on a very personal level for all of us as individuals, there are all things that keep us entombed, you know, to keep us hiding, whether it be depression, whether it be an addiction, an obsession. These are all things that keep us from really understanding God's presence in our life. See, that was the thing that Mary was missing. That God was there for her. What Jesus did not say is, you know, woman, get over it. He's gone. He's with the Father. And he's with the Father's arms. So don't worry about it. You know? He was intentional, Jesus, about just being present. So how do we be present to that presence and roll away the stone that entombs us in our own stuff that we become obsessed with, that we become a part of? It's important. It's important because we are not those things, but we become those things. And that's what abundant life is all about, the promise of what it's going to be like. The other piece of this, though, is that it's not just about us. And I don't believe that Jesus ever intended anything to be about us. He intended it to be about all of us. So if we're going to unbind, then we also have to look at our systemic sins and think about poverty and those in poverty. And what are we doing to unbind those people? What are we doing to unbind people who make $1 an hour or $10 an hour, whatever it is? What do we do? How do we do the right thing by them also? Because we're not going to have that kind of freedom. We're not going to have that life of abundance that God promises us unless we do it together for everyone, not just ourselves. Sure, charity begins at home, but it doesn't end there either. So as we get ready in these next 2 weeks to come to Easter, think about your own personal resurrection. And what are the things that you have to untie, unbound, and set free? Because resurrection is not just about Easter Sunday. Resurrection happens every single day in our lives. Every time we overcome something, it's resurrection and we're born anew. That's the promise of abundance in life in the kingdom. So it's not a single event in time. And and I can't help it, you know, always think about what Bishop Barbara Harris had to say about we're a Good Friday, we're Easter people living in a Good Friday world. And I love that, that we're Easter people living in a Good Friday world. But as Christians, that's the promise of abundant life, that resurrection can happen every day, all of the time. And it's not limited to one person or to this group or to that group. But just as Jesus came to share the gift of abundant life through the resurrection, so too are all of us expected to share the abundant gift of resurrection. Amen.